Hello and welcome to another Fine Mez. I'm your host, Tom Lemon, and I'm delighted to say that our little trio has now become a gang of four with our newest recruit in America, covering US ABS transactions, is Diana Bravo. So welcome, Diana. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And welcome, you two. How are you doing?
All right. We don't even get names anymore. Part of the furniture.
I'm not in a good mood today, I've got to say. I just spent roughly 4 hours covering for the Global Capital podcast, our podcast colleagues or competitors, shall we say.
Competition, yeah.
One of them's on holiday. Do you say they're not competition?
No, they are.
Exactly. Nobody go listen to that.
It's not a competition if we're winning.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so basically he one of them's on holiday motorbiking somewhere, so I had to pick up the slack. And it's like a 45-minute podcast with about an hour of audio to look after, fix. So my back really hurts, and sorry
it's
if I snap
thing
at you
to
for the rest of this
at
call.
The start of us recording an episode with four people on.
Yes, right. Well, we will hear from Diana in a little bit about some interesting things she's written this week on the US side. But shall we start perhaps with the most newsworthy story that we've done this week, which comes from Victoria in CLO World. Very colourfully named story, which is Moody's puts Altice in Thunderland, but no storm for CLOs. What's going on? What, and also, what is that play on? Is that like Alice in Wonderland? Is that the idea?
It is. Yeah. I mean, zero thanks to me for that. I named something very, very boring. so boring I don't even remember, which entails like three editors to get together and brainstorm and come up with this one, which I think is pretty good. Very appropriate to the occasion, because there was, I'm sure by the time this podcast gets aired, everybody in the market will have seen a few days of, in part, quite panicky coverage about sort of how Altice is going to ruin the fragile CLO market. So what's happened is there's Altice France. It's a French telecommunications company, and it's the single most widely held name in European CLOs. I think around 90% of CLOs do have some sort of debt, and like quite sizable chunks, some of them. And that's a bit of an issue, because Altice not only has Altice France not only has 24 billion euros of debt, it's also highly levered and has been in huge trouble since interest rates began rising. So this has been a situation for a while. Last year in August, I covered, and I think we actually talked about it on one of our first podcast episodes. There was an investor call where the founder, Patrick Dry, came on, did a little whatever it takes speech.
Oh, yes, I do remember that. Yeah.
That was my great moment of a very central bank related joke that nobody ever laughed at.
I remember that as well. Yeah.
I'm very pleased I get to plug that again. But yeah, so after that, people were kind of assuming, yeah, it's going to be all right. They're going to sell down some assets, repay the debt. But then last week, 20th of March, because it might be more than last week when this podcast episode airs, there was another call where Altice basically said that they might reduce the value of their debt, and that took a lot of people in the market by surprise. The bonds plunged, all the debt dropped dramatically in value, but then the main concern that was that it could be downgraded, which then Moody's actually did yesterday from recording perspective. So on Wednesday afternoon, Moody's gave them a downgrade, basically from a single B to a CCC.
What's wrong with that?
CCC sounds better than single B, doesn't it?
Exactly. I'm spoken like a true expert in securitization. So no, CCC is worse than single B, just in case somebody's listening to it who's not familiar with credit ratings. CLO managers have certain buckets and requirements to what kind of loans and debt they can hold in their portfolios. And for triple C assets, they only have a certain bucket. Usually they can only hold like 7.5% of their portfolio can be triple C rated assets. So if now there is this massive downgrade, like a downgrade of a sizable chunk of their portfolio, maybe like say you have like 2% of your portfolio is Altice and that gets downgraded, then suddenly that gets added to your triple C bucket. So then you might be at risk of exceeding that threshold and it might cause some turmoil in your portfolio. But sort of an hour or two before Moody's downgraded it, S&P actually published a little commentary, mini report, where they were like, please everybody chill. so they had calculated that for basically all the deals they have rated, which of course isn't the whole market, but it's like 350 or something. And they said basically it's fine. So
what, fine, why? Because when you talk about the buckets, do you mean that the buckets were not, they're not that filled? So yeah. Even so, if Altice goes into it, it's not the end of the world.
Basically, yeah. So people like CLO managers in Europe don't actually have that much in those buckets. So they're not like maxing it out. I talked to one CLO manager who estimated it's like 3% on average. So even if you have like, even if you had like 4% of your portfolio in Altice, which is quite rare, that's not a lot of people would have that, you would be fine. There are a few CLOs. So like, if following a downgrade, the number of CLOs who do breach that bucket does go up a little bit. I think sort of in S&P's calculation, which might deviate a bit from the actual effect of Moody's, it was like, I think there was like 5 CLOs who breached the bucket now, and they would go up to like 14 or so, but out of hundreds of CLOs. And also, if you breach your triple C bucket, like you don't become a forced seller. You don't need to like drop it like a thought. Basically, yeah. You just, when you then calculate your over collateralization test, which is like a test of the strength of your portfolio, you just have to consider everything that goes beyond your 7.5% triple C at like a discount to the actual value of the debt. So yeah, like it's annoying if that happens to you, but it's not something that'll like ruin the market.
I mean, are they going to default, or what happens if they actually default?
Well, S&P also talked about that, like in case Altice does actually default, which I don't know, like it doesn't look like it's going to do that like next week. But if it happens, if the situation just sort of derails completely and it goes down to zero, that will suck for... Like, it will be very annoying for a few CLO managers, but again, it won't turn into like a huge market crisis. So it wouldn't affect any payouts to like senior CLO tranches.
Yeah.
I think in S&P's report, they said something about it might affect like 27 junior tranches across 20 CLOs in among the ones that S&P is rating. But again, that's out of hundreds of CLOs. So it would be a little bit painful, and like obviously nobody would be happy about it. But it wouldn't be like, again, it would just not be a huge market crisis, which I think some people, like, it was getting a bit emotionally charged in some coverage and sort of some commentary that's been floating around that I've seen at least. Maybe other people feel different about it. But yeah, so yeah, it's painful, but also it seems to be a fairly idiosyncratic situation. It's not necessarily a sign of like the entire market's under defaulting. It's also not a sponsor backed back company.
Yeah. So if this has been going on for so long, why haven't CLO managers just got rid of the debt?
Well, they can't really. It's a bit of the issue of maybe how the European market works, because you know, it is liquid, you can trade your loans, but if basically, I don't know, 60-70% of the investors in the loan market are CLOs, and all the CLOs own Altice, and all of them want to get rid of it. It's just quite tough.
Not many buyers.
Not many buyers, especially if it is a more sizable position and you're like picking up the phone to be like, hey, anybody in the market for 25 million euros of Altice?
It's like, so yeah, that people... Spider-Man meme where there's like,
exactly,
like Spider-Man, exactly, like looking at,
so
each other.
I hear like what people are sort of doing now to like prepare for the whole triple C thing is that they're just selling other triple C loans that they still have in their portfolio to make some more room and sort of avoid the triple C bucket breach. But yeah, just just sitting on that stuff.
Great. Thank you, Victoria. And sticking with Europe, George, what's going on in European ABS?
It's been going very well for the French market. That's the first thing we had in French RMBS.
I'm
French
sure we're all so glad to hear that.
both nice big books, nice type prints. And we've got another French issuer returning in Socrum Bank for after Easter, getting out ahead of what is going to be a tremendously, in the words of one banker, busy pipeline.
After Easter? Interesting. Why? Just get it all done before Barcelona? Because there's normally like, what, 2 weeks of quiet before?
Yeah, I think there's a kind of, there's a bit of that, yeah. And there's obviously the well-known volatility in the second half of the year. It's just a kind of rush to get business done as early as possible, I think, because I just think people couldn't quite get out as quick as they maybe wanted to, because we had a very quiet February, more by coincidence than any like design or people not thinking this is a good window.
So now everybody is like, issue me like one of your French deals.
God. it will be interesting. Obviously in the US we're hearing that a lot around the, it feels like everyone's front loading to get everything done before any talk of who's going to win or who has won the US presidential election. But also I think there's a little bit of concern around just, you know, you look online like things like the Bloomberg terminal, and it's like, these are the expected rate cuts, and it's all in an orderly little step. And it's like, well, the reality is often not as orderly. And I wonder how much of that is coming into people's minds around getting stuff done. But it'll be an interesting sort of thing to follow. And it could be that by December, we'll all be essentially on our Christmas holidays in the first week of December. But one can but hope, I suppose.
Wouldn't that be nice, yeah. But speaking of less orderly than expected, we also had a second lien UK RMBS from Equifinance, their second lien specialist. It was their debut deal, and it didn't quite go as they probably were hoping.
So just to explain to those who might not know super well, how does a second lien work?
So you have your regular mortgage, mm-hmm. and then you borrow another mortgage on top of that. And then if you have to foreclose, the first mortgage gets paid first, and then the second mortgage gets paid. So you're in a much more exposed position than you would be as the primary.
Okay. So it's a waterfall structure, but for
a re-securitization, one might say.
Yeah.
There was actually a ban on, like, I think it was Help to Buy, one type of like government support lending couldn't be securitized because it was technically a re-securitization.
Okay. So what's happened there?
The pool is like, it's very much non-prime. Like, you had deals from Together and Enra, their low LTV deals there. Like, there's various reasons you take out a second lien loan. Sometimes it's just that you don't want to give up your first mortgage because you got a great deal. And so you can get kind of prime borrowers looking for this kind of thing. Or you can have debt consolidation where you couldn't quite, for one reason or another, you just need to get it all into one loan. And the easiest way is a second lien. So you got a huge range of borrowers. And by all accounts, I think Equifinance is on the less prime, higher LTV end of that. And I think they just came a bit tight for that. And considering they're also a debut issuer, like, you've got to pay a premium there as well.
Didn't you write that it was like a wonderful time to come to market or something like that?
Well, we've had tightening since the start of the year. And at the IPTs, it looked like it was going to price very tight. And I don't know. I mean, I wasn't sure about the IPTs, but I just thought if it does hit this level, like, it just shows you what an amazing, like, tightening we've had. And in constructive conditions, I think the kind of wisdom that you just need to get your deal done as soon as possible, which kind of is the lesson from the last 2 years may not be as true as you think, particularly if you care about kind of 10 basis points of spread. And, you know, for the illustration, which I also gave in this opinion piece, was Nationwide, the kind of new nimblest issue in the market because of stock and drop.
Bingo!
It's like bingo, isn't it? Jesus.
They priced a very similar tranche to Lloyds and Santander did at the, you know, Lloyds before it started marketing it before New Year. That was at 55. The Lloyds and Santander deals and Nationwide was at 48. So, you know, I think there is some merit in waiting these days, particularly if we kind of continue on a positive track. But that said, like, seeing the heavy supply over Easter, we're probably kind of done with that already. Like, you want to get out as quick as you can now. It's once you get in my view. So it's a bit of a blip, but, you know, we'll pick up after Easter with more supply.
Yeah, well, clearly your predictions leave something to be desired, but let's hope you're right.
Manchester City are going to win the Premier League, or Manchester City or Liverpool, one of the two.
During our sort of our big editorial meeting, when you talked about that, like, one of our editors was like, Victoria, so this deal is aiming for 120 and CLOs are pricing at 150. How does that make you feel? And now I think I feel a bit vindicated.
Right, and finally, you've had to wait very patiently, Diana, but you've written a really interesting story around solar ABS in the US, much more mature market than it is in Europe. But what have you found out this week?
So this week I was focusing on a new type of issuer coming to the solar ABS market. Yeah, Everbright is a subsidiary of NextEra, which owns a bunch of other power companies, both in Florida and outside. And they've typically found the financing for the solar loans that they provide outside the ABS market. But now they're coming to market and trying to become a programmatic issuer.
And am I right in thinking the other solar ABS issuers that exist in the US market right now, they're generally a bit smaller companies or companies that are trying to do it for a slightly different purpose?
Yeah, a lot of them are fintech companies looking to find other places or looking to make trades in this area and turn a profit that way. Some of the other ones are smaller power companies, but yeah, this is the first time we're seeing somebody with deeper pockets coming into the market.
That is quite interesting. So is that going to be the start of a bigger trend? Do you think we're going to see more of those?
It looks like it.
Issuers?
Yeah, I think it will. We already know of another larger company coming to market, Enfin, which is a subsidiary of Qcells, which is a solar manufacturer. And from what I understand, there's more on the way. A bunch of different people referred to it as either a new era or a maturing in the solar market. And I think it'll be interesting to see where it goes, if that pans out, and if it does, what that looks like.
Yeah, particularly, you know, because as a market, it's gone from strength to strength, sort of year after year, and sort of continuing to issue and deals go well. Investors seem comfortable with the asset class now in the US, and you've had things like the Inflation Reduction Act that have been really helpful to keep it going. But yeah, like you say, if all of a sudden the really big guys go, yeah, this market is liquid enough, that could mean a sort of step change. And it could also mean that some bankers get very excited. Did you talk to any very excited bankers about the potential to do a lot of deals here?
I did. I spoke with RBC, and or specifically Nick Rogers over there, and they mentioned that they're very excited to bring these new issuers to market.
Maybe some Europeans will be looking on very enviously.
Looking jealously at
Tom wrote about that recently, didn't you?
Yeah.
The NPOL story.
Yeah, and it's like, it's It's funny, isn't it? Like, we get so excited.
It's like, maybe by 2030, we're going to have, like, a...
Yeah. I don't even want to look at what the issuance was.
I mean, this market is only, like, 10 years old in the US.
Yeah, but that's 10 years that the European market doesn't have. I mean, like, last year, 2023, there's 4.3 billion in solar ABS, public deals, you know. I think it will be incredibly exciting to see 250 million this year. but you know, change happens differently for others, you know, for different people. Change, you know, we're all on our own journey, you know what I mean?
Just so happens that Europe's is quite a bit slower.
God, these Americans, eh? well, thank you, Diana, for that. That story is called Everbright Ushers in a New Dawn for Solar ABS, which you can read on the website. So, yeah, please do check it out. And, of course, get in touch with Diana if you have any US ABS needs. You're going to leave us, I gather, because you've got far more important things to do. So say goodbye now. So thank you.
Bye.
Okay, cool. And next week, I mean, I'm not going to be around at all because I've got a few boys from London visiting the Big Apple, which will be interesting. we've got a plan, though. So, well, we've got many things planned, like we're going to see the Nets. But the best plan is that we've booked this. You can go to Brooklyn Bridge and get like a professional photographer. To take like marriage photos for people or like engagement photos and things like that. And it's relatively cheap. So what I'm going to do with my like three or four mates is do the same thing. But obviously there's no marriage. we just thought it would be funny. So
that's cute. Have you picked your dress yet?
Yeah, we'll take some interesting poses or some seductive poses with one another. Might become my LinkedIn profile pic or something like that.
Meanwhile, the rest of us is going to take headshots next Wednesday in all of us.
Maybe it could be the cover photo for the next episode on the
Yes. Well, wish you were here or something. Okay, brilliant. But yeah, you guys work-wise, you know, you got stuff to do. Well,
yeah, but here,
well, I'm
you
expecting.
Know.
Yeah, we've You're got Stockholm Bank, obviously.
Another baby.
Expecting already. Yeah, it's been quick, but no, I can confirm no babies at the moment. I'm also off on Thursday and Friday, but I'm gonna have a busy week, busy 2 days in the meantime.
Yeah, good. Okay, well, I'm afraid that's all we've got time for today. Thank you as ever for listening. I think you can watch this listen to this on YouTube now, which you should check out. Don't know how that improves the listening experience, but some people like that.
There's no video.
There's no video.
Okay, good. So I would have been honest if that was the case.
But otherwise, hope you have a very, very nice, slightly shorter week, and we'll be with you again the following week. Goodbye.